Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Just brutal. Not Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. He's phenomenal. But the entire sequence for the Philadelphia Eagles, for Atlanta, this was the thing that sparked the massive come-from-behind win. They had a minute and a half basically left. No timeouts. But because Saquon's drop stopped the clock, Perloff, it basically, you know, handed more time to Atlanta. Turns out they didn't even need all that time. They got down the field in an instant. They score the touchdown. The point after is the game winner. And the Eagles have to be looking around like, how did we lose that game?
Well, actually, ironically, the extra time gave the Eagles a chance to win the game late because the Falcons scored so quickly and so easily. There was 30 seconds for the Eagles to kick a field goal, which,
by the way, that was not the strategy. That was not like, hey, let them score so we'll have all this time left.
Yeah, well, no, but it did become very clear with that. I mean, it became clear that the clock was the Eagles. Actually, there was, Buck did mention, hey, maybe the Eagles call timeout here to try and
they
give
did.
Themselves
yep.
a chance. It was bad. With the second Barkley dropped that ball, it's one of those things. It was over. You could just tell that was such a losing play that it inspired the Falcons. Like, oh my gosh, like this team doesn't want to walk away with the win. I mean, that was such a choke job. It was unbelievable.
It was. I mean, I'll give you that. I didn't think the game was necessarily over at that moment. It was a dumb play. And it was either you blame Saquon Barkley because he dropped a easy pass, or you blame the coaching staff for not taking 40 more seconds off the clock and maybe more to run the ball on third down. Again, Atlanta has no timeouts. You could take another 40 seconds off the clock, then you could kick the field goal if you wanted to, or you could go for it on fourth down and see what you have going on there and see if you can really try to win the game. Instead, they settled.
Right.
And they gave Atlanta and Kirk Cousins, who is not known to be great on primetime, he looked amazing in that final drive.
I think he's won a bunch now in a row.
Recently, yeah.
Four or five. So, you understand this 40 seconds made no difference. It could have been a minute left. They stormed down the field so easily that it had absolutely no impact.
Well, here's the thing about that. So I think that they had a minute 30 left and no timeouts. I think your mentality is a little different than if you have 50 seconds left and no timeouts. Like, do you rush the ball? Are people making mistakes? Is it harder even just to get up to the line of scrimmage to run the next play because you're taking this big chunk yardage? You know, you're getting 11 yards on the first play, 26 yards on the next one, 20 yards on the next one. All that takes time. And if you're under a minute with no timeouts, like, it just changes everything. I know they were going to the sidelines quite a bit, but you know what I mean? It changes it, in my opinion.
I don't know. I mean, did you get any sense? There could have been 12 seconds left that game. The Eagles were playing such bad defense. And honestly, I think that Atlanta's actually going to look back at this game and kick themselves like, ooh, we should have been throwing on these guys all game long.
Because
I really, really do not like the Eagles' back seven or back four especially. Like, they're really weak at defensive back. And if you don't pressure the quarterback at all, you can't even get within 5 yards of Kirk Cousins. There's no way those guys are going to hold up.
No, this was Kirk Cousins, who, again, is coming off of the Achilles, didn't look very mobile in week one against the Steelers, and TJ Watt was all over him. And then you see week two, he just had time. Like, he was in that last-minute drive where he goes 70 yards in, you know, less than a minute. He just had time to look back and look for his receivers. And these guys are actually playmakers when they do get the ball. Shed a couple tackles, work in the sideline. I mean, it was impressive from Atlanta's side of things. I guess, you know, they took exactly what the Eagles were giving them.
I mean, who are these playmakers? Drake London. Hasn't scored a touchdown, and they said in 15 games.
High draft picks, though. These are guys who, Bijan Robinson, these guys are, well, he wasn't really a factor on the final drive because they needed yardage. They couldn't run the ball.
You were actually mentioned a good point. If you're an Atlanta fan, then you're wondering why was the telecast all about the Eagles? But this loss to me, it really feels like the Eagles handed them the game.
They did.
In two ways, having Saquon Barkley drop that ball and to not pressure Kirk Cousins on that last drive in any shape or form.
I know. And I get why you're frustrated. And I get why, I mean, you basically have said you think the season's kind of over. Like, there's not a Super Bowl in the cards for this team because you're seeing the same carryover from last year.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a really interesting battle for the division. I think the Cowboys and Eagles are going to be flirting right like they did last year, very much around the 10-11 win mark, wild card division, maybe 9 wins. Remember, the NFC East for a long time, you could win that division with 9 wins. You did not need to have 12 wins like the Cowboys.
No, I think the Commanders won it 1 year.
8-8, didn't they?
Something like that. And they almost beat Tom Brady.
Oh, wait, the Taylor Heineke year. Yep. Or did they have a losing record?
I think they were 7-9.
Yes. So you don't have to win 13 games to get out of this division. This was a tough loss. You know how they say sometimes one loss is so bad that it means two losses? It really feels like a tough assignment to go against a hot New Orleans team next week on a short week in New Orleans. That's going to be rough. I don't know how the Eagles stop the Saints.
Suddenly looks a lot different to have to go to New Orleans and then have to go to Tampa and then go into Cleveland. And who knows if maybe they figured a few things out by the time you face them.
Yeah.
Sorry, not to kick while you're down, but
that being said,
this could be a tough couple weeks.
But this is exactly when the Eagles, of course, step up and play well.
So that's a question, though, because does this team has shown that ability, but that was when different coordinators were in the building, and maybe you had a little bit more faith in Nick Sirianni. I mean, I don't have any faith in him as an outsider, and I know that he took you guys to a Super Bowl, so he's going to have maybe some built-in credit with the fan base, but that team is not the same. The coordinators are not the same. The pressure's not the same. You know, everything is different about that.
Yeah. The one thing, Jalen Hurts' legs were back. That is obviously the Eagles' probably best weapon. Would you agree?
I thought Jalen Hurts was impressive in the second half.
Yeah,
maybe the tail end of the first half, too. Even Bill Belichick was giving him a lot of credit for, you know, you don't want him taking too many of those hits because he has shown he's gotten injured in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to take it upon himself and stepped up in that way.
Right, so he ran very effectively in 21 and 22. 23, he either had a knee injury or he had gold weighing down his pockets as some cynical Eagles fan after a huge contract. Anyway, he just wasn't the same runner. Last night, it was awesome in the second half, especially. I mean, he was weaving through guys.
Yep.
Looked so much like 21 to me. So that makes him more interesting, although there's always a risk of injury.
Yeah, 855-212-4227. It's funny because we put this out on X at Maggie and Pearl. Are the Philadelphia Eagles done? With 57% saying no, they're not done, Pearl. So the public does not agree with you.
And still, that's 43% are out.
Yeah, that's true. Good math. And it's funny, we've got one reply that says like, oh, can you guys stop with this hot take stuff? I'm like, no, this is how Perloff really feels. Like, this is not a hot take. This is just a depressed Eagles fan coming in trying to pick up the pieces.
Well, also, too, I think the expectations coming into the season were lower. You did not hear a lot. Last year, a lot of people had the Eagles in the Super Bowl because they were coming off that loss to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I don't think the expectations were nearly as high coming this year. I mean, you did a Super Bowl pick. You picked the Packers. So did I.
Yep.
Did you even think about the Eagles?
I did not.
Yeah, they weren't on my radar as a Super Bowl pick.
Because I don't trust Sirianni.
Yeah.
And the fact that you had an article that came out that said that he and Jalen Hurts couldn't be in the same room together without someone else there to mediate, moderate, whatever. Like, that's not winning football. As much as Brady and Belichick probably hated each other's guts at the end, it's not a winning formula. The coach and the quarterback have to get along. 855-212-4227. They have to have some kind of relationship that one respects the other, and I don't know if that exists. Bergie is in Florida, has a point about last night's game. Good morning, Bergie.
Maggie Perloff. Maggie, I got your back on this issue of the time. Less time does make a difference regardless of how fast it went down the field. And my analogy is is the worst thing in baseball. The thing I hate the most is when they don't run fast to first because it's a ground ball in the infield. You don't run hard in case they make a mistake. You run hard to force more mistakes. If they know you're running hard, it's more pressure. And that's exactly what I feel about the situation you were talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about the third and three call. This is basically when the game turned, right? So it's at the 13-yard line. The Eagles are driving third and three with just under 2 minutes left. They decide to go pass play to Saquon Barkley. He drops the ball. And my point was, run Saquon Barkley, because even if you don't pick up the first down, another 40 seconds comes off the clock. Then you could kick the field goal. Then you're up six. And giving the ball to Kirk Cousins with less than a minute left, to me, feels different than a minute 30 and no timeouts. Like, Kirk's been in this situation before. He can do that.
He could have done the minute, too. He just could have.
Potential for false starts. You have all kind of things that could go wrong in that situation.
Nothing. You had all that. They had to go the whole length of the field with no timeouts anyway and did it easily. I mean, the Eagles were, how you are defending the sideline, how you're not.
Oh, I don't know.
You're laying off guys and then you can't tackle them after they catch it. Like, what are you doing here?
I know, letting Mooney get by, Mitchell, the rookie. So you don't want to, like, kill a guy because he's a rookie, but at the same time, make the tackle, man. Push him out of bounds, anything.
Eagles hate tackling. It's not their thing, which is a problem in NFL football.
You only get that kind of analysis right here. Berge, thank you so much for weighing in. Kevin's in San Antonio. What's up, Kev?
Yes, I'm on the phone. I'm sorry. I have two things to say. Two things. The Eagles with Perloff, I know that you upset and so forth. It was a bonehead play, mm-hmm. and so forth. And then what you think about is that you look at the Eagles real court. Are they living on life support? Because that it's the head coach. It starts with the organization. And they also start let's look at Carolina. Carolina need a clean house. They need to get people know about football.
Wait, Kevin, they can't clean house. They just cleaned house. Carolina literally just cleaned house. They got a new coach. They got a new general manager. You're never going to clear out the owner. Kev, thanks so much for the call. Good morning. Love hearing from you.
I believe the general manager was in the building. That was Dan Morgan was the assistant general manager, I believe.
And he was a player. All right. But can you do that? The guy, Dave Canales, is coached two games. And he just made a massive decision, which is to bench Bryce Young in favor of Perloff's guy, Andy Dalton.
I mean, you're right. It'd be a little early to clean house. Although I get the sentiment that Kevin's talking about.
Coming up a little bit later in the show, I will give you my top five things I'm already sick of, and it's only week two. I didn't forget about that list, by the way. Adrian is in Maryland, wants everyone to take a page from Aaron Rodgers' book in RELAX. Good morning, Adrian.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, let's relax. You got the Cowboys and the sky's falling because they lose a game. Now you got the Eagles. And Maggie and Perloff, come on now. The whole media, everybody says that the Eagles had the best talent on paper, so you guys can't say they didn't have a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Adrian, you're right. Perloff and I didn't pick them, but you're not wrong. There were a lot of people in the media saying how the upgrades that they've made, getting the coordinators out and getting new people was good. Like, there were a lot of people who did like the Eagles. Because the Cowboys, I think people thought were down.
Like them to win the division. I think the high-end Super Bowl pick, Adrian, that wasn't a thing. I don't think people were picking the Eagles to come out of this conference. Were they?
Everybody claims they got the best roster. They went and they had the best draft pick in the draft, you know, an A on their draft. Then they pick up Saquon, and they just add them. The roster, they say, you know, I hate hearing this. We play the games on paper because we don't play them on paper. Only thing last night is it opened up the whole NFC now. You got the Niners losing. You got Minnesota. You got the Rams looking like, I don't know what the Rams look like. So the NFC is just wide open now. So it's for the taking now.
All right, Perloff, did that make you feel any better? Adrian, thank you so much. No. Have yourself a great day.
No, of course not. Okay. Nothing's going to make me feel better. And Adrian's right, except that a lot of people did praise their offseason, seemed to have another really good draft. I think people are very skeptical about Nick Sirianni. Maybe it's because I know you are, Maggie.
Yeah.
I think that was the general temperature out there. I did not see a ton of Eagles Super Bowl picks While people did say this is a very talented roster, nobody trusts Nick Sirianni. Nobody.
I mean, even when Rich Kotite, right, was Hugh Jackson or Rod Marinelli, yeah, like any of these guys who were just known to be like, you know, maybe Hugh Jackson's not a terrible coach, but presided over an 0-16 season. No reporter ever sat at one of their press conferences and said, "What do you do around here?"
Right. So who's that list again? Rod Marinelli,
Hugh Jackson. I put Rich Kotite on there.
Oh,
I mean, I could give you a little Rod Chudzinski. Rod? What was his name?
Rob.
Sorry, coach.
But who was the 0-16 line? Was it Marinelli or
Rod Marinelli?
Yeah. There's a lot of guys. I mean, listen, what are the common ingredients on all those situations?
What?
I mean, the Browns are the worst run organization in the history of the world. You could have named four different Browns coach.
That's
the
true.
Lions are the second worst until recently.
For many years, yeah.
So, because the fact that we weren't sure who Mornhuig was just as bad as Marinelli. Anyway, the Eagles seem to have a good ownership group and seem to have, everyone's like, oh, don't trade with Howie Roseman. He's so brilliant. Again, and EJ mentions that like the brilliance went poof this offseason because Bryce Huff, the broadcast was circling him a lot. They're like, well, it's about time they hear from Bryce Huff, and you just see him get stonewalled.
Yeah, Agent Zero, right?
He's so small. Did he shrink in the offseason? He's just so unimposing.
He's always been little, but...
Well, you know, he's not supposed to be like the standout piece there.
He's getting paid like the standout piece.
Well, I mean, maybe that was a little bit of a mistake, but that's also because you have a lot of cheap guys along your offense or your defensive line because they're so young.
I think that they've been watching Micah Parsons, who's quite small and quite fast, and said, well, we want that. And the truth is there are no other Micah Parsons.
That's true. We did talk about the Falcons side of this, and we will continue to talk about the Falcons side of this because this is fun for the Falcons. You get a win on the road like this. Cousins holds off Michael Penix and all of those, all that conversation, which would have likely been swirling. And, you know, maybe there's something cooking a bit in Atlanta. Okay, we've blamed a lot of people for the Eagles' loss. However, there's still one guy out there, Pearl. And I'm curious if you're going to put any blame on this individual at all. Nico, you have the sound I'm thinking of? Okay, so this was coming back from commercial break, under 2 minutes left to go, right before that fateful third down and three where the Eagles try to throw the ball and Saquon Barkley dropped it, and then the madness ensued after that, and the Eagles lose. Are you going to blame Scott Van Pelt?
We're going to visit with Joe and Troy, show you the key moments of this game and take you inside the winning locker room, which appears it will be the home seed.
Ooh.
We'll see you when this one is done. Go, Troy, back to you.
Oh!
I missed that line, but then I saw SVP after the game kept on making a point of, hey, we're actually not in the Eagles locker room, we're in the Falcons locker room. I get it. Yeah. That is
SVP said,
that's a bad beat. That is a bad beat. Stanford Steve, why are you letting SVP do that? What's up with that?
I mean, yikes. I watched it. I was like, is there? No. He didn't just say that, did he?
And you know, it's funny because like, I feel like watching how announcers couch those things, like Mike Breen, I think, is one of the best at it, where he'll do the, is this going to be another heartbreaking loss for the Knicks? Or maybe they'll find a way to come back here in the end. And it's like, well, he threw them both out there, so you can't say one or the other.
No Breen's wonder people like him.
Yeah,
Breen is a pro.
And I've seen other, I know. And SVP's great, too. And I've seen other announcers do that. They do good jobs with that. And I was shocked SVP did that last
night. Well, Scott's 100% approval rating. I know. Honestly, I can't get mad at that guy. I love Scott Van Pelt.
He has a hand in this loss as well. Everyone's fingerprints are on this thing.
I don't know, Maggie. That's one guy you don't touch. I rarely meet a sports fan who doesn't like Scott Van Pelt. He's got a DP vibe.
He definitely does. Chris is in Birmingham, Alabama. Hey, Chris, what's up?
Yeah, Saints fan that called in yesterday.
Yep.
I want to discuss the Atlanta and Eagles game. All the blame has been put on the offense, but yet no blame has been put on the defense. It's like, you're just going to sit here and ignore the fact that they gave up. Let's see, look at this number. It says 233 yards of passing, 20 of 29, and 7.8 yards per pass.
Yeah, I mean, almost 100 of that yardage came in the final drive. Almost.
And not to mention the 9 penalties, and then we're going to ignore the fact that when it was on 4th and 4, they could have just, took the points on a field goal early and then at least have them –
get that's 3 free points off the board. So they could have still managed to win. It was just a they just falconed the Falcons pretty much.
Chris, hilarious. Thank you very much for that.
I'm going to talk about a game from the past a lot this week. I'm just warning you in advance. In 2021, Derek Carr and the Raiders came into Philly. He was 31 of 34 in a game. I've never seen anything like it. It was Jonathan Gannon's defense, similar defense to Fangio. Like, I just don't see Derek Carr throwing an incompletion against this Eagles team. And the way Kamara played, I don't see them tackling him once. I think Chris is... I do disagree because I have been talking about this defense. They're so soft. This whole bend don't break. You're doing this list of things you don't like in the NFL.
Yeah, already sick of.
If you didn't put bend don't break on there, then get it on there because it's ridiculous.
Okay, so spoiler. Well, I'm going to do the list next, but I'm going to spoil it. Bend don't break is not on it.
Okay.
Because the Bills have been doing bend don't break for like 5 years. So honorable I'm already mention? Over it. I'm sick of it.
Honorable mention, maybe?
Maybe honorable mention. We'll get to my list of things I'm sick of already.
Maggie and I are preemptively discussing a topic that could get us in trouble with HR. We might have to tell you to eliminate from the podcast before we even talk about it.
Well, Prof is lamenting. There's like, I think a lot of people have to do this. It's like a sexual harassment sort of videos.
Right, right. It's a
training.
A learning module so you know what to avoid
and
when to report and stuff. It's very serious and important. But the latest one, which takes about 7 hours, was basically the story of a guy who was asking out his coworker. And I said to Maggie, it's the rule that you can ask out your coworker once, but if he or she says no, then you can't go back to the well.
Right.
This guy kept asking her out. And Maggie's like, well, you weren't sure if you were even allowed to ask your coworkers out.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I can't tell. I mean, obviously, first you got to be like picking up on some kind of vibe that they might be into that kind of thing. But I don't trust a lot of people's picking up on the vibe.
Right. Like Bill was misreading the vibe the entire video.
Well, he kept misreading it, which is how he ended up in the sexual harassment video. No.
Well, you can obviously.
Goes, he's a nice guy. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. No, he's not. Like, oh, Bill. Yeah. Oh, he's good intent. Ooh, boy. Bill. Well, know when to say enough is enough. Now, the
Greg
question
Giannotti from WFN always says those videos, you can't tell if it's sexual harassment training or like the beginning of a porno. It's
exactly.
Like, knock, knock, knock. Anyone here?
The issue is, everyone I know. Like,
working late, huh?
I know 100 people have dated coworkers. I know a lot of people have married their coworkers. So obviously you could ask a coworker out.
Yeah.
I mean, this building, I don't think there's a lot of dating going on because it's kind of heavily male skewed.
The ratios, well, I mean, whatever you're into. But yeah, the ratios, not so much. There's not like a 50-50 around here.
No.
But on the sales side, there is. Like, there's other facets of this building.
Right.
Not just our little bubble.
Right, right. We don't hear much from that group. But generally,
I'm leaving that right there.
Yeah. But let me ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
Generally, are you okay with asking out a coworker? I mean, you entered this building as a married person, so it's different. But I'm sure you've dated coworkers, right? Or maybe not.
I have never dated a coworker.
Yeah, it's a mess. You got to do it.
No, well, now I'm married. My husband gets hired. You've married. You've dated a coworker?
Of course.
Do I know them?
No. This is a long time ago. But I wonder, too.
I was trying to get the gossip.
I think a majority of people have dated a coworker. If you work somewhere, like, where else are you going to meet people? When I was young, I'd spend 12 hours a day at the office. Of course I was going to date a coworker.
How did it go wrong? Like, what happened, Pearl?
I'm going to save that for my long car ride with Nico. What?
Outside Harrisburg is where he'll get to it.
Yeah, it was messy. It was terrible.
You broke up with her, though, because you said you've never been broken up with.
Yeah, I definitely broke up with her, and it did not go well.
Got it.
Let's see. I mean, listen.
Now that you have to see her all the time, that sucks.
I don't know. I mean, if people have hooked up at a Christmas party. It is not uncommon to date a coworker. I understand harassment is a very serious issue in the workplace, but come on. I mean, let's be real. Like, everybody.
People
it's a
date.
Very common naive thing. I mean, I can't imagine. EJ, have you ever dated a coworker?
I have not. No, I have not. That's simple.
Bogus.
Like, I've been out on dates with people who used to be my coworker.
Whoa.
Oh, but not current coworker.
Yeah, not a current coworker.
Right. A former coworker.
And like nothing happened. It wasn't like that's why I had to think like nothing like really materialized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I've not like currently being coworkers actually going out with somebody.
Okay, so do you think that that is a bad idea? Like,
yes,
would you tell
I think it's a terrible idea. That's why I didn't do it.
Two-Ton Tony's in the chat says, never date someone in the same company. I kind of agree, although I do know a lot of happily married couples. We just saw one at the SI reunion.
Of course.
And I love the Trish and John. And look, I love Trisha and John.
Before I worked here, I worked at Spectrum News New York 1 here in New York City, a local news station, and there are plenty of married couples who started by meeting at New York 1. So honestly, I probably saw the blueprint to actually make it work, but then I've also heard the horror stories of, like, someone doing this, whatever, Brian, whatever this guy's name was in the video, like asking too much and then it being weird. Like, I just feel like I've seen some beautiful family being created at New York 1, but like that downside of what the other side looks like for me was like, I'm not worth it. Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, I think the best way to meet your wife is to host a morning show and leave your current spouse for the other person on the morning show. That's a tried and true.
That's a deep cut.
Oh, my God.
Deep cut.
That's a direct shot.
Deep cut. It's like, it's like half of the married people, half the people in New York City can tell that story.
Well, we've left no time for my top five things I'm sick of already after week two of the NFL season.
By the way, I will guarantee Andrew Bogus has not dated a coworker, at least in this place.
No, I mean, I've been with my wife since 2000. I haven't had time to date a coworker. I didn't have a job without her.
Wait, were you on the golf course riding the car?
That was in the period where she didn't like me. So that's why I was looking for people on the drink cart.
That's always a great place to find women.
I'm not sure you worded that correctly. You're like, I've been married since 2000. I didn't have time to date anybody else. What about you?
In 2000, I was in college. I was never in a workplace.
It's not like
with the ability to date somebody.
I thought you were like, well, in 2014, I would have liked to date someone else besides my wife, but I was too busy. The hours were too long. That's what that vibe.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
I have time. Now that I have a family, I mean, listen, would I like to be on Tinder? Yes.
I mean, in like 2012, Olivia Munn flirted with me at Sirius. I would have not dated her then, but my wife was in the way at that
point. Worst nightmare of every married man, that someday a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model is going to have a crush on you and you're going to be married.
Yeah.
Happened to a friend of mine. It was a tragedy like no other. Just got engaged.
But he has that knowledge, though, at least. That's a tiny gift.
Yes, but
and you can go into the world with that confidence, and then your wife can rip it right from you.
That's true. Right back into my purse it goes.
I mean, I know people who specifically don't get married just in case someday they're walking on the beach and a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model runs up and says, I want to date you.
Wow. You guys really think that's going to happen, huh? Sydney Sweeney's just waiting.
It worked for Bill Belichick.
It's true.
That's a long wait, though.
Also, is it working, air quotes, dating someone 50 years younger than him? Ooh. Well,
yes.
Maybe. I guess so.
Working a lot better than the 2023 Patriots season did.
Well, you want to know, you think it's awkward when a couple breaks up when they work together. How about the first time someone mistakes Belichick's girlfriend for his granddaughter, which I'm sure has probably happened to them before?
Mm-hmm. Still, again, better than running into the punter and giving the other team a first down.
More salty about the Eagles or the 2023 Patriots?
Well, Belichick's looming. Belichick's looming around the Eagles. Yeah.
Oh, can we talk about how salty he is about the Falcons and how he could not hide it on the Manning cast last night?
That was crazy.
So he's talking about the Falcons and they said it was a guy who broke up a pass. Was it some random-ish guy on the roster? And Belichick's like, make sure to interject. That's one of the players they got in trouble. They cheated to get
illegally signed
along with Kirk Cousins, and that's why they got Dr. Draft Pick. I was like, damn, you are salty. I mean, Arthur Blank takes you on the yacht. You think you're getting that job? That's like the owner equivalent of putting out on the first date. Like, you think he's going to call again, and then he just didn't.
And then he made a crack about, like, beating the Falcons in the Super Bowl and being like, oh, Arthur Blank, he came down to the sidelines in the third quarter. Like, he thought he was going to win. And, he usually looks nice on that sidelines in those suits, but maybe he came down a little early. I'm like, this is hilarious. But again, if you're a Falcon fan, you probably were like, is this game on Tubi or some Amazon? Like, you gotta listen to Jason Kelsey or you gotta listen to Bill Belichick talk about how your team is trashed for 2 hours.
Cheating. Which is rich coming from Belichick.
Exactly. I was like, this is the guy talking about doing illegal stuff in the NFL, really?
Yeah, it's like, Bill, let's sit down and open the book on what you've done for years.
Yeah, and shame there are not a lot of Falcons fans. Maybe the few that were watching were probably very upset with the ESPN broadcast last night.
Is this game on Tubi? That's a great line, AJ. Bogish, let's get to headlines.
We all thought that NFC South was the AAC of pro football, and while the Panthers might lose the Temple Owls, the rest of the group is kind of impressive. The Bucs just won in Detroit, the Saints score at will, and the Falcons stole a W in Philly last night. The Eagles mismanaging the clock, giving Atlanta plenty of time to drive for the go-ahead touchdown. Then Jesse Bates picked off Jalen Hurts to seal a 22-21 thievery. Kirk Cousins, 5 for 6 for 70 yards with a touchdown on that winning drive.
First throw was pretty contested, but then had a couple where it felt like they were allowing us to be able to throw things underneath or down the field as long as we weren't getting over their heads. And then as we got closer, I thought, okay, now the cover is going to tighten. And that was really where it was so important that Drake was able to wind the front pylon there.
To catch the go-ahead score, Jalen Hurts threw for 183 and a touchdown, ran for 85 at a score. But the biggest play he was involved with last night, the one pass that Saquon Barkley did not catch with 139 to go.
No, I trust him every day of the week to make a play, just like everybody else. And so we'll be better from it.
Apparently, the Eagles had a 96% chance of winning by running for any yardage on that third and short, but they passed to put the game 100% away, and Barkley simply dropped it, stopping the clock for the Falcons. Eagles receiver A.J. Brown told ESPN last night he'll miss multiple games with the hamstring injury he suffered in practice last week. Deebo Samuel out weeks for the Niners with a calf strain, and the Rams say Cooper Kupp will miss an extended period with a sprained ankle. Now, going back to Monday Night Football, they're just being pigs now on ESPN. Remember last Monday when Jason Kelce made a joke about his moobs popping through his new shirt? Well, they were throwing the T-word around again last night.
I was going to ask for a check. How are we feeling? Better?
Are much better today.
Fantastic.
Much better.
And then...
Hey, is that real or were you just...
No, that's real. And then Ryan Clark kept it going.
My friend keeps saying you're on ESPN. I had to ask. I go, yeah, I'm on ESPN. Think it's about me.
Yeah.
And she goes, I told you, that's Ryan. She was on stage when Jason said...
It's a whole new demo. I think two is probably
welcome.
More. I think we're allowed one per block. I don't know if
I'm done.
It might be 5 yards of legal motion. We're going to talk about...
So that one little dead spot in the middle, I think, was ESPN finally trying to bleep it, and they were late hitting the button because there was a quick drop of sound in the middle of the clip. But that's three T-words. In the pregame of...
So you said moobs, did you?
Oh, yeah, because I can't say the word they were saying.
And you can't spell
said.
It.
No.
So, but moobs are men boobs? Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I know about the bro, and I know about the man's ear.
Yeah.
I had never heard that term. Sorry.
Well, you could put it together like a merc.
I did put it together, but I thought I misheard you.
I didn't know that anyone didn't know that. I'm sorry. I thought that was a universal... thing.
I was also confused for
you're a baby. You don't even know what they are in the first place.
Nico, you're far from them, too. You got years upon years.
Everybody knew because they kept talking about it with Kelce. I thought that was like maybe the introduction for a lot of folks.
They were using that word?
Yes.
Okay.
I saw that in headlines everywhere.
I just don't understand. How can you say this on TV, I guess because it's cable, and you can't say it on the radio? It's weird that that specific word has such different rules.
So, well, why can McAfee throw out any word he wants?
Well, so the thing is, the rules are the rules, but you also, like, no one's really monitoring. Like, as far as I know, like, someone has to report
you. You have to get a complaint.
For saying things before you get... So you can say whatever you want, but then someone's going to say something to the FCC, and then you can get in trouble. And then every individual place has different lines of what...
Right.
So, like, you could say that word right now.
But I thought the FCC had no say on cable. Like, they don't... I think
that's why McAfee can curse.
Yeah, they don't monitor ESPN.
I think they can, if you're on cable television, you can.
But even
say
during
whatever.
The day?
Yeah, I believe so.
See, I always thought it was.
It's just more
I thought
of a
it was,
taste thing.
I thought it was always like the law that you could only say curse words after 10 p.m. on cable, but apparently that was just like a gentleman's agreement because McAfee has blown through that.
Yeah,
but you think about it, if you go to HBO at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there's movies with curse words on it, so there's no guideline.
That's not cable, though. You have to pay
HBO.
Extra.
But that's a marketing line. That's not fact.
No, but you have to pay extra.
But
I know you pay extra for cable too, but on top of your cable, don't you?
No, I mean,
it's a subscription service.
Reuters says federal FCC guidelines on profanity do not apply to cable networks.
Huh. Yeah, I'm not sure that there's a distinction in terms of who controls
it. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I thought it mattered like what you were turning your TV on to as well. Like that your expectation for HBO with a rating that flashes that this is an R-rated program, you know what you're getting. But like, does ESPN put a...
Yeah, they put a warning on McAfee.
Right, on McAfee. Yeah. But like on last night, no. Are they putting up a TV MA little thing in the corner
they,
of their screen?
They
is
should
as, starting?
I think really it will come down to probably honestly advertisers being the issue. Where
right.
If you're saying that we're a family show and you're dropping F-bombs or whatever, I'm sure, you know, I don't know, Super Soaker maybe doesn't want to decide
right.
Or, you know, Nerf maybe say, hey, maybe yeah. I won't do that. SVP, Sports Illustrated, gun, if kids are potentially watching.
Right. So we'll just have fake guns all over the place to market to kids.
I know. Tell me about that.
Super Soaker. Was that an ad, by the way?
I don't know. I was thinking about what we'll play on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, the truth is, I think... The attitudes towards nudity, towards everything have softened, and they just keep getting softer
Definitely.
Over the years. You're allowed
yeah.
to do so much more. I think of radio. I think a lot of people get super anal.
Can't say that word.
about, spell it.
Yeah. About the rules. Sorry. Yeah. They just get really uptight about the rules when I think nobody really cares. I've noticed that a lot of bosses overreact to little things.
Yes, and have like their little tiny like hair splitting rules. Like you can say this, but you can't say that. You can separate bad words and
feels
say
dated,
with first
right?
half or the second, but not the whole thing together. Yeah,
it feels dated to me.
There was a time where I felt like growing up, there was more of a chance that as a kid you'd be with your parent watching something, and therefore maybe there'd be a concern about what's being played, and people say, "Hey, I'm watching this with my kid." I think now with like iPads, tablets. Like broadband internet, like I think there's a good chance, like your kid is just never around with you watching television.
Oh, Perloff, you said you'd kill for your daughters to watch TV with you.
Yeah,
they only want TikTok.
They want to control the screen. You'll get that too, Maggie, with Lucas.
Oh, right now he just runs the house and
but
the TV.
Does he like TV or is he more an iPad guy?
We have not given him an iPad yet. Because I'm afraid that once he gets the iPad and then at some point, inevitably, we're going to have to take it away from him for any stretch of time. I'm afraid he's going to throw said iPad at said mom or said dad. He once put a remote through the TV when he was like 3 and a half because we told him to turn it off.
That's just a question of evaluating your son's arm strength.
Honestly, he's good. And he's good lefty, too.
Oh, wow. That's promising.
I know. I was like, wow, you really put the remote right through that thing.
When did you know your son was going to be a professional baseball player? Well, he got so mad because I turned off
Paw Patrol.
Paw Patrol. He winged it. It's like, third baseman, let's go.
Does he talk to you like an internet troll? Does he just curse you out?
Bleep you, mom.
No, thankfully, my horrible potty mouth has not rubbed off on him yet. We try to keep it clean around him. It's hard, though.
Oh, just wait.
Well, just like when something happens, like I had a stove, like on the stove, the pot was overflowing, and your instinct is to be like, oh.
Yeah.
And he's like standing right there.
Yeah, and then he's going to go to school and hear 10 times worse. So you might as well get it over with now. Set the tone. Lay the base layer in here. You control it.
I know, but like I felt so bad. My one of my close friends, his nephew, hangs around. You know, our friends around a lot, and you know, drop a lot of F-bombs and stuff. And it's hard to adjust. And I thought, well, it's probably not that big a deal. And then one time, he just be like, "This is bull." Like when like he didn't get like a cake or something. I was like, whoa. It startles you. You're like, man, I gotta be careful. I could be influencing getting this kid in trouble in school. It's bad.
Jeez, EJ.
But see, like,
you're the downfall of America. No, I get
scary.
It. It's hard.
I don't want to feel like, especially when it's not my kid, I don't want to feel like, oh, I'm contributing to.
No, that's not your problem.
Let me give you a get out of jail free card. If the kid goes to school and curses, that's not your fault. Because my kids know what the curse words are. They would never curse in school. Like, the kid that goes to school and drops an F-bomb, the problems run deeper than the time you heard you say in the backyard because you missed a jump shot or something. Like, or, like, you lost a Madden game. Like, that's not what the problem is.
Can I see there's one exception to all these rules? A young Eagles fan cursing out an opposing fan is still the funniest thing on the internet.
The double bird to Eli Manning.
There's one where this little 9-year-old goes up to shake a Giants fan's hand and is about to shake his hand and just flips him the bird and runs away laughing. It's... Can't miss.
You guys are really nailing it down there.
Nice. I don't even know what you guys are talking about. I think this kids cursing is one of the cutest things out there.
855-212-4227. Okay, we've got to play a little quarterback musical chairs. We've got to get to my five things I'm already sick of in the NFL season. We have a Heisman update for you. Lots to do.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right, I've made a little back of the envelope. Top five things I'm already sick of, and we're only in week two of the NFL season. Perloff, you had an honorable mention for my list.
Oh, I'm sick of every team letting the other team move the ball between the 20s and then toughening up in the end zone, because that means that all my favorite receivers are catching a million passes and getting hurt. And it's a great defensive strategy, but it has slowed the game down. Now, all of a sudden, quarterbacks can't throw for 200 yards, except for Gardner Minshew, and running backs are going off because of the new defensive philosophy. So it's a lesser fan experience. But I think the ones you have, I will admit, I know you pretty well. I think they are going to be more annoying than that even.
All right, the top five things I'm already sick of, and it's only 2 weeks into the NFL season. Number five, the no preseason impacting the regular season. Ah, I am so sick of this. It's like if you have a guy who didn't play, all of a sudden it's like he's out there with like he's looking into the sun or something with no sunglasses on. Like, it's, you've been playing football your whole life. How does it take this much warm up to get ready for this thing? Like, how do you not know what you need by now? I don't get it.
So wait, to be clear, so you think they should play preseason, or they shouldn't need it and they shouldn't be struggling?
How about this? Either be in training camp and actually train and do the joint practice thing if you don't want to actually play in a preseason game. But how about a drive or two? I'm not asking you to play the whole game. They used to play like into the third quarter when we were not kids, but a while ago, and now it's like you can't even play at all. And,
yeah.
Weeks 1 through 3 are basically the extended preseason. It bothers me.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's and also, too, but now everybody's talking about it. It's driving home. I can just see you getting frustrated.
I'm so mad. Okay, number four on the list, things I'm already sick of, the Taylor Swift celebrations. I don't mind that she's at the games. That's fine. But this celebrating, the jumping up and down, the hysterics. Like, girl, you've already been through one of these seasons. We got a long way to go, mama.
Don't put the camera on me for this. Taylor Swift Nation, you're A-okay with me.
Do what you want. Go to all the games.
No, go to them all. Just like act like you've been there before. They're the back-to-back champs. You don't have to be jumping up and down when, you know,
you're saying she's
Rashi
too...
Rice gets a touchdown in week two.
She's it was against the Bengals, but you're saying she's too late to the bandwagon?
I'm just saying it's like...
Every game looks like her first game.
Yeah.
She's like, whoa, football. No, I think that's Maggie's point.
Yeah. It's
very accurate.
It's one
very
thing
accurate
for the Super Bowl. It's another for week two. Okay. Number three of things I'm already sick of, David Tepper ruining this franchise. It's an abomination what this new owner has done. And a lot of people's hands are dirty on this one, but no more than David Tepper. We'll get more into Bryce Young getting benched in just a moment. The second thing I'm already sick of this NFL season, watching the Steelers offense. I can't believe we got to keep doing this. And I don't know if it's going to be Russell Wilson. I don't know if it matters. You've said this.
2-0, baby.
This is just a bomb. It's a terrible viewing experience.
Well, I think the even worse viewing experience is the other offense when T.J. Watt is destroying their quarterback.
No, see, that's like a work of art. That's like good defense. The offense for the Steelers being bad is just like their own thing. Like,
so you could be entertained by the Steelers' defense. So the other offense doesn't bother you, but the Steelers' offense bothers you.
It's like, do you think you can only throw horizontally? Like,
you understand they've gone from Matt Canada to Arthur Smith.
I get it. Listen, Mike Tomlin wants job security. All right, you're not getting fired for the offensive coordinator, that's for sure. Don't worry about it, dude. You've been there for 100 years. And the number one thing I'm already sick of after week two of the NFL season is Jason Kelce. Enough. The commercials, Monday Night Football. I mean, it's just so much, Kelce. So that's my top five things I'm already sick of.
The only argument I have against that is that there's also a lot of Eli Manning. So which little brother, even though Jason might be older, which little brother is more annoying?
Jason is older. Eli has been in my life for so long, it's like wallpaper at this point. And like, why Eli Manning is the number one spokesperson for Corona is hilarious to me.
Yeah, Eli's so funny. I will agree. Jason Kelce was too much last night. I can't believe I'm saying this because I came in, I was excited to celebrate Jason Kelce. But by the end of the third quarter, I'm like, all right, this is exhausting.
Well, it's also state-run TV. It's like, don't tell me it's like, wow, everyone looks great. It's like you're in a dogfight right now with the Falcons because you guys can't score. Like, this, don't lie to me, Jason. If you're going to be in the booth, got to tell me the truth.
There's a lot of Nick. For that to rhyme. Do you notice there was a lot of Nick Foles last night, too?
He got honored.
He got honored. Yeah. I was actually wondering, like, this NFL, dude, why did you suit up? You're like 36 years old. Why is he retiring?
There you go. What I get wrong, what I
35
miss.
35 for Nick Foles. Sorry.
That's okay. Did I miss anything? What are you already sick of 2 weeks into the NFL season? Coming up, we're going to play a little quarterback carousel.